In a Facebook ad for Dove Body Wash, a black woman removes her brown shirt, and in a snap, underneath is a white woman in a light shirt. The video clip is just a few seconds, but it lit up Facebook in discussion. The ad featured three women, each removing her shirt to reveal the next. But it's that transition from the black woman to the white woman that harkened back to a racist theme that has some history in soap advertising, this inference that you can wash away black. The model in the ad spoke out about the ad recently.
I was happy with it when I saw the ad itself because I turn into a white model, and then the white model turns into an Asian model, and I thought it was fantastic. I remember being on set and they're explaining the concept to us. Everyone was like, this is amazing. It's going to be so cool. Everyone was excited to be a part of it. We weren't sure which of us would be featured where and how exactly it would look, but the concept of it sounded amazing to us. So I think the screenshots that have kind of taken the media by storm paint a slightly different picture, which is...
That was Lola Aganyemi, the black model who was featured in the Dove ad, explaining her perspective. We're discussing advertising and its intent through time with Shalini Shankar. She's a sociocultural and linguistic anthropologist at Northwestern University. Her research includes media, race and ethnicity, youth culture, Asian America, and the South Asian diaspora. Her book is Advertising Diversity, Ad Agencies and the Creation of Asian American Consumers. Shalini, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what do you think of this Dove ad? What was your reaction?
My reaction was that this was so similar to the ad that caused so much controversy that they released in 2011, where people had the same reaction. So I found it frustrating and disturbing that they hadn't learned any lessons from the last time this lightening to darkening sort of motif got played out in an ad.
Well, sometimes in advertising, there are perhaps ulterior motives. Do you think this was something Dove did intentionally, trying to spark some controversy to get some attention?
It's certainly possible. However, the attention that they would garner for an ad like this tends to be overwhelmingly negative. So I think it's just a dangerous move in this political climate that is already so polarized along race lines.
And we were just hearing the ad's black model, Lola Aganyemi. She released the statement in The Guardian. She talked about this ad, defending it. What do you think about her thoughts on how she reacted to being in the ad?
I really liked a portion of her statement in which she called Dove out for not defending their choice of casting a dark-skinned model as one of the spokespeople for the ad. However, I think there is a portion of her Guardian statement where she also feels some discomfort about being the before in this before and after dark to light transformation that happens in the ad.
Let's take a listen to that part of the ad.
I don't feel it was racist. However, there is a case for the context of the situation, and I feel that there is a position where Dove maybe could have taken that into account, given that they've run into this sort of situation before. They've received backlash for similar content that they've posted. This is something that they could have not expected, but they could have, you know, they should have strong teams that can point this kind of thing out before it goes to air.
So what do you make of Lola's remarks?
I think they're quite spot on. This is a lesson that skincare companies should have learned a long time ago, because as you mentioned earlier, this use of skin lightening has often been linked to questions of hygiene and trying to make darker people lighter and more civilized. This was used in colonial regimes as a tactic, and it continues to be a motif in advertising that darker-skinned people find deeply disturbing and offensive, especially people who might have already had some brand loyalty to Dove, possibly feel very offended and hurt by this portrayal.
Well, we have an email from Paul in Eau Claire who says the Dove ad is not racist. Skin lightening creams and treatments are sold throughout the world. It's universal among humanity that lighter skin is more attractive. What do you make of that?
I think that that is an ingrained idea after centuries of global imperialism and oppression from European colonizers who forwarded the idea that whiteness was the highest on an evolutionary order. This is an idea that has been scientifically debunked. It's been socially challenged in many ways, but it persists. And so the fact that there is a market for skin lightening creams doesn't mean that that is an idea that we should continue to support.
We're talking right now about the Dove ad that was circulating on Facebook. The parent company, Unilever, pulled the ad pretty much immediately over the weekend because there was so much backlash on social media. We are talking with Shalini Shankar, who is a sociocultural and linguistic anthropologist at Northwestern University. She wrote a book called Advertising Diversity, Ad Agencies, and the Creation of Asian American Consumers. What do you think of the Dove ad? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Do you think this is outrage, or is it overreaction, or are there grounds for defense? Do you think this is an accurate portrayal of people of color? And do you think that in the media is that important? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. Shalini, let's go back to 2011 from a historical perspective. Critics pointing to Dove's history with racially insensitive ads. Many are making note of this 2011 ad that lined up women from left to right, from darkening to lightening, before and after, moved from darker skin to lighter skin. Do you think Dove learned since its last issue there?
It certainly responded to the criticism in a way that would suggest that it had something to learn from it. And I suppose in the intervening years, we didn't see anything that went in that direction. And so to see this ad kind of reemerge after years of more positive messaging, I think suggests that either that message was forgotten or they thought maybe it was a different time and that this tactic would work again.
And this also got quite a discussion going on social media, and there were ads that were circulating from decades ago. We pulled one from the 1870s to the 1950s on a tobacco product that shows, you know, images that are racially insensitive. Let's take a listen to this commercial.
Fall out here means more than growling a young buck. It's a time of crisp, clean, morning air. And the sound? Thundering stampede. It's a time when horses come down from the high pasture. And a man prepares for another tough winter. It's time for a nigger hair. An American cigarette.
Okay, and so there's an ad there for tobacco, and obviously, certainly issues with what he says at the end. Shalini?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I think that this is very much typical of its time when various racial groups were portrayed primarily in derogatory ways to appeal to white consumers. So the audience in advertising during these earlier decades of advertising were primarily whites. They were thought to be the market. And so whatever ideologies and ways of appealing to them that people thought were effective is what were used. But today we have a really different idea of who the American public is, and that minorities are real consumers. And so to use a kind of racially motivated tack today is really different than this early historical era.
Let's take a call now. Elizabeth in Madison. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I hope you can hear me all right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on, we've I encountered something this spring where there was insensitivity with advertising and insensitivity in the advertising boardroom, people just not thinking in general. We had, my mother died in January, and by May, this particular memorial garden had an advertisement out that said, in honor of Mother's Day, and they had a special offer tag on a flower arrangement, and it said 50% off grave spaces.
Mm. And I'm going to have to, Elizabeth, hold you right there before we can comment further, because we're headed here into a post for the news break. We're discussing insensitive advertising this hour, the Dove ad that's been in the news, 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back after this news update. Beauty brand Dove's parent company, Unilever, encountered pretty much a groundswell of criticism for its ad depiction of a black woman morphing into a white woman. The company has apologized, saying, "We got it wrong." We're looking at companies, what they're getting wrong through history, where racist overtones come in. Shalini Shankar stays with us. She's a sociocultural and linguistic anthropologist at Northwestern University. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Do you think people of color are being misrepresented in ads you see? Do you think accurate portrayal of people of color in the media is important? Join the conversation, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Shalini, before we went to the news break, we had to cut off Mary in Madison, but she was talking about, you know, how insensitivity in advertising, it doesn't even have to be on a commercial. It can be, you know, right there on a graveyard, you know, for graves.
Sure. And I think there are many, many instances of advertising that get things wrong or aren't thinking through how a whole range of consumers would interact with it. But I'd say the difference is that when you release something on a national scale, or in this case, possibly an international scale, since this Dove ad was on Facebook, it's really meant to reach a huge audience. And so its reach and its message are much more powerful.
Let's take another call now. Mike in Milwaukee. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, when did we become so politically correct that we came out the other side, essentially? Because while I can see how it might be an issue of a black model turning white, sure, I understand that. But at the same time, you said that down the ad, the white model turns Asian. Why is that not a problem, for instance?
I think this is a really good question, and one that always comes up when we think about who is offended by the ad and why. And you're right in that people aren't talking about the white model turning into the Asian one. I think in part because Facebook pulled the ad, I'm sorry, Dove pulled the ad. And so what circulated more was that screen grab that was from Facebook. So I think that political correctness is a very different set of ideas than what is going on here. What I see is going on here is a soap manufacturer trying to appeal to women to buy their product. And the way they're doing it is saying that, you know, you'll remove your darker skin to become lighter. And I think that that rubs many people the wrong way.
And this is something that has been seen through history, through time, in advertising. Is that right, Shalini?
Yes, it is. And there are many soaps that promised the removal of darkness as a way to become clean and pure. And it's something that, you know, other skin care manufacturers have equally been guilty of very recently. Nivea is another one that had a that had a campaign called White is Purity. And this elicited white supremacist groups to post favorably on their Facebook page before that ad was pulled. So I think we have to look at the bigger political implications in our current climate as to what ads like this incite and what they bring out for different people.
Shalini, what about the discussion on social media? Did social media itself fuel more debate over this, more criticism?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the ad itself only ran on social media, which is what makes this discussion even more fascinating, because it was never a television ad, right? It was only, or at least it never made it to television. And so the kind of boycott movement and the bigger discussion, it was all on social media. And then the main news outlets picked it up. So I think without social media, I don't know what the conversation would have looked like around this specific ad.
Let's take another call now. Mary in Menasha. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, I just wanted to have people be more aware. Anytime you have a group of people that has more power over another group of people, a minority versus a majority, there's going to be that feeling of this is an equal. And I think a lot of people who may be not of color may not see this as an issue because they've never had to live this. They've never had these concerns in their lives, and they've never had to defend their skin color and who they are. And I think that's where people forget that there is this inequality, and it really does exist. Whether you live it or not, it's still there.
Shalini.
Thank you. I think that's beautifully put. And it is a real privilege to not have to defend your skin color. And I think it takes some real empathy and thought to think about how could this really be a difficult thing for someone who has been told their entire life that their skin color makes them a lesser person in the eyes of society, whether that's official or unofficial. And, you know, to see that reflected in a consumer product ad when you don't even expect it is very hurtful.
Thank you, Mary, for that call. Jim in Mayville. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm 64 years old, and I must admit that every time we have diversity training at work, and this has happened over the years, I tend to avoid the ethnic diversity. The last time we had a situation where you could pick age-related diversity, ethnicity, religious diversity, things of that nature, we had choices. I picked age-related because when it comes to racial issues or skin color, apparently, it seems to be a no-win situation. I always feel like I never come out feeling good, and I don't think anybody does. I picked age-related. It was much more interesting. Millennials versus baby boomers, things of that nature.
So walking in someone else's shoes, he feels more comfortable changing his age than the color of his skin.
Well, age is something that is universal to everyone. We're all aging. I don't think that engaging in a conversation that feels hard and a conversation that maybe doesn't have an easy resolution at the end doesn't mean that there wasn't some real positive work that was done by engaging in issues that felt difficult. And also, the age-related conversation is never devoid of race. We can think that thinking about age is kind of neutral, but it's really, you know, all of these things intersect in people's lives. So for many of us, there is no thinking about age without also thinking about race and gender and many other things.
Shalini, as we begin to wrap up here, what can, you know, Dove is under the microscope. What can it do next to make right here?
I think that they really need to up their game in terms of hiring people who are really connected to their consumer base and really include people of color and listen to them and have their input matter. Because to continually repeat this same motif of darkening to lightening for skincare. We just can't see it as an accident. And I think the forgiveness will begin to run thin if they don't get this right.
And broadening out to advertisers who are, putting many products out there, pushing many products. What would you tell advertisers as Dove's gone down this road?
I would say that by 2042, the United States is projected to be a majority minority nation. And so getting these ads right are the way that products are going to sell. So if that is your goal, you really have to understand who people are from their perspective, rather than from an advertising boardroom where people are kind of guessing what people of color might like. So I think deepening that understanding by including them more centrally in the process would be an excellent direction.
Shalini, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fascinating.
Shalini Shankar is a sociocultural and linguistic anthropologist. She's based at Northwestern University. Her research includes media, race and ethnicity, youth culture, Asian America, and the South Asian diaspora. Her book is Advertising Diversity, Ad Agencies, and the Creation of Asian American Consumers. We've been talking about a recent Dove ad, and the company pulled it after it was found to be racist and insensitive to people of color. We listened to one ad earlier that was quite insensitive, and we have another ad to play here as we transition this hour to our next guest. There's an issue as well in this one, and it's a toothpaste company, and the toothpaste line was primarily sold overseas from the 1900s to the 1980s. Let's take a listen.
Can you stand it, boss? Can you take dim microscopic shiners gleaming your teeth at? Go on, huh? That's it. All right. Now that's the power of Ducky. Ducky.
For a shine that's jiggaboo bright.
And while the name of the product was later changed to Darlie, it still sells as a, quote, black man toothpaste, as the packaging featured an image of a wide-eyed, smiling, dark-skinned black man wearing a top hat and a bow tie, as these images were associated with minstrel shows. We're discussing ads that miss the mark with racial overtones this hour, what they say about advertising and about society as a whole. 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we'll be continuing the conversation with Sonia Thompson here in just a moment. She's a marketing strategist and consultant, and she recently wrote a piece for Inc. magazine. It's titled Why the Controversial Dove Ad Missed the Mark: Three Important Lessons for Marketers. And Sonia Thompson joins us now, marketing strategist. Sonia, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we've been talking about this Dove ad. What was your reaction to it?
My initial reaction were tears. Whenever I saw the ad on Saturday night, I actually saw the screenshots first. And out of nowhere, I had this sort of emotional reaction where I was trying to understand, is this company that I have been a loyal customer of for years really telling me that my skin needs to be lightened with this ad? I was puzzled, but a hurt had come up that I didn't even realize was there.
So did you anticipate there would be this fierce backlash, especially on social media?
Whenever I saw the ad, I first saw it on, well, whenever I first saw the the screenshots. I saw it on social media, so I completely understood the backlash based upon the screenshots. Whenever I saw the actual advertisement the next day, I had a different reaction, but I could totally understand why people were feeling so upset and were having such an emotional, visceral, negative reaction to what they saw.
And the model of the ad that she said she is not a victim of racial insensitivity. Can you explain a little bit, perhaps, why the model didn't feel that this ad was that negative?
I believe the model, she had more information. She had more insight into what the overall concept was, what the company was trying to accomplish. And if she would have felt that, if she would have seen the images the way we saw them whenever we experienced them on social media, her response might have been different. She had a bigger picture, a broader view of what Dove was trying to accomplish that, frankly, none of us did. Granted, the screenshots that were circulated widely that most people saw wasn't a full representation of the ad, but we also, whenever we're looking at what the advertisement did show, we're still lacking the context. We're only able to see these images, and because it had sort of a careless, the way it was put together was a bit careless, many of us are left to come up with our own interpretation of what it is that they're actually trying to say. And unfortunately, for many people, that was a negative message.
But it did spark conversation about race.
It did. And I think a lot of people, because we probably haven't necessarily seen these advertisements that were so blatantly recommending or implying that black skin is inferior, I think it was able to bring up a good discussion for people to understand why black women in particular are especially sensitive to these types of images, because we've been told covertly, overtly for years with different types of advertisements what a standard of beauty is, and generally that standard of beauty doesn't look like who we are. So whenever you see advertisements that are blatant like this and are sparking such outrage, it's good in that it can create a dialogue for more people to understand the context and the challenges that spark such emotional response. So that's a good aspect of it. In terms of getting the conversation, so hopefully more brands won't be able to repeat this type of mistake in the future.
And also, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, they had to have realized this. I mean, come on. I mean, is there...
You would think that that would be the case. And whenever I scroll through even my own social media timeline, I would see things like that for sure. But I saw things like that over and over again. But I think the key thing is whenever you lack empathy or a really deep, intimate understanding of who your customer is and the plight that they're going through, it's hard to be able to understand where people are coming from and why this isn't good advertising, why this is insensitive. And I would venture to guess that the team that is at Dove probably doesn't reflect a very diverse customer group that they are trying to communicate with. And if they don't do that, and if they don't actually take the extra step to walk a mile in the shoes of the people that they are trying to reach, then they are going to miss the mark, because they're not going to be able to understand what is acceptable, what's not, and what will bring up painful undertones and painful memories that might not show up whenever you're talking to somebody regularly or in market research.
A spokeswoman for Unilever, which is home to the Dove body wash brand, said on Monday the short video was intended to convey that Dove body wash is for every woman and be a celebration of diversity, but we got it wrong, end quote. We're discussing how the Dove ad went wrong this hour, gathering your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Sonia Thompson is a marketing strategist. She stays with us. She's also a consultant and author. She recently wrote an Inc. magazine piece titled "Why the Controversial Dove Ad Missed the Mark, Three Important Lessons for Marketers." You can join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. Back after this news break. In 2011, Dove came under fire after running a before and after ad showing what appeared to be a black woman transitioning into a white woman after using the body wash. Fast forward now to 2017, and it appears Dove has made a similar mistake. We're discussing the recent ad that Dove pulled on social media. It's images of a black woman removing her brown shirt and appearing to transform into a white woman removing a similar shirt. Sonia Thompson stays with us. She's a marketing strategist. She wrote a piece for Inc. magazine titled Why the Controversial Dove Ad Missed the Mark, Three Important Lessons for Marketers. You can join in the discussion 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sonia, what are these lessons you have for marketers?
Well, the first really is to make a commitment to marketing to diverse customers. So the professor that you had on earlier, she talked about by 2042, the U.S. will have a majority minority. And companies, brands, marketers need to understand and recognize that they cannot wait until this point if they want to stay relevant. They have to start building relationships with these different minority groups right now. And that first starts with committing to them and committing to understand them at a deep level, and knowing that they're talking directly to them and that every customer one size does not fit all. They have to speak to the unique needs and experiences of the people that they want to reach.
Let's take another call now. John in Green Bay. Go ahead, John.
Hi, good morning. Great program. So I teach marketing at a technical college in Green Bay, and we were just having this discussion. And what I want to get your guest's take on the idea that even if that is your intent, and I completely agree with what she just said, but even if that's your intent, how difficult the execution of that is in today's society with all of the ways that can get chopped up in bits and pieces and commentary can get spread through social, and just how difficult the execution of that message is when you don't have the ability to always say the whole story. And so I'd just like to get your comment on that.
That's a great question. It can be complex and it can feel complex if it's something that you're not used to doing. But the more you get to know your customers, and if you start to think of your customers as friends, right, then you will start to get an understanding of what types of things are hot buttons for them, what types of things work really well, what their fears, desires, dreams, and frustrations are. Then you'll be able to have a greater degree of empathy for them to know how to communicate with them in an authentic way that speaks to them and is less likely to cause so much backlash. But it really starts with having a deep understanding of your customers and committing to figuring out how to have that deep understanding and walking a mile in their shoes so you know which ways of communicating aren't going to work and which ones will.
What about having, a diverse workforce, the people sitting at the boardroom table who come from all walks of life? Is that important?
It is definitely important. So you definitely really should have a diverse team who is working on these advertisements. So whether that is your direct marketing team, whether that is your senior leadership or your agency partners. And, you know, some brands might say, hey, we can't change our entire team right away. But that's where you're able to bring on subject matter experts in the form of consultants or freelancers or an agency or in particular instances to figure out how can we get to the root of understanding this customer and then work to make sure that your team over time starts to reflect the people that you are trying to reach. Whenever you do that, you have a much lower hurdle to cross over when it comes to try to figure out how to understand this customer at a deep and intimate level.
Let's take another call now. Barry in Spooner. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I was just calling because I felt that the Dove ad wasn't racist in any way. I mean, people can make out of things what they want, but it's not any significantly different than Michael Jackson's Black or White video, which was hailed as something incredible and it's basically the same idea, and now it's racist.
I think that the difference here is Michael Jackson's Black or White video, you had the lyrics accompanying the visuals, and you had the span of 3-4 minutes to really see and understand the concept. And the difference here is with Michael Jackson's video, it was a very unifying message overall, and it didn't have the history that exists with skin tone and what people feel at an emotional level, having historically been told that your skin color isn't something that's acceptable and you need to lighten it for it to be viewed as beautiful. So although the concepts seem to be similar, because of the context behind both of them, both in the way they were viewed, way they were experienced, and who the messenger was coming from, that's what makes it different in terms of the response that you're seeing and getting from across social media.
Barry, thanks for calling in with your comment. Sonia, Dove is going to be now, and has been in recent years, under the microscope for how it reaches its consumers for its body wash. What can Dove do at this point? What should be its next step?
The next step should really be to join the conversation. Because they've had such troubled history, and because so many of their loyal customers and people who may have been on the fence about them before are quite skeptical and are still hurt, even though Dove apologized, Dove needs to demonstrate that they are committed to learning from their mistakes. And because they've had this trouble before, I think people are going to have an extra watchful eye on them. So instead of going back into the lab and trying to figure it out on their own and figuring out what they can do to prevent this from happening again, they really should be more visible to join the conversation, to invite the voices of the people who they are trying to reach, to make sure that they are demonstrating that they really do want to make a commitment to women of color, to understanding the different voices of the consumers that they're trying to reach, and to help get educated. So whenever brands are able to go through the process of co-creation and to be able to engage and really sit with their customers, they're able to connect with them on an authentic level, and I think their customers are able to find they're able to have more empathy on there, because they know that they're trying to educate the brand as well so that they can do better in the future. So Dove just really needs to come and speak more to the people that they're trying to reach, and that will help them. People understand that they are trying to get it right.
Mike has a comment from Stevens Point. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to maybe put out the idea that the people reacting to this ad are overreacting, possibly. And I liken it to the stereotypical short guy character in a comedy or a sitcom, where he thinks everybody in the group's always making a jab at him for how short he is, you know, and he's got that quintessential short guy, tough guy, overreaction type personality. I think perhaps people are overreacting in the same way out of insecurity, when we all just want the short guy to, you know, be confident and realize, no, nobody's jabbing at you. It's all in your head.
Sonia.
I think sometimes it might feel like an overreaction if you don't have the context or understand why people are having the visceral negative reaction that they are. And that comes from not having a degree of empathy to understand what's at the root of it. It's one thing for customers, if they're feeling insecure, that insecurity might have come from a different place. And sometimes it's not just as simple or as easy as saying, don't be insecure, you're beautiful. You need to work at it. And there are times where there are certain images, and there are certain experiences that you might see that may trigger things that you didn't even know existed. So for me, for my own experience with this, I had an emotional negative reaction to it. I'm not somebody who feels like I get easily offended by these types of images or advertisements, or who's somebody who feels insecure about the color of my skin at all. But I had a different emotional reaction to this as well. And it was surprising to me, but it just goes to show that sometimes these types of images and the history associated with them are painful enough that even though people aren't going around looking for an opportunity to be offended, it can spark something that's deep inside of them that makes them feel like this isn't right, and we need to be able to do better with the images and with the communications that are submitted out into the marketplace.
So as we begin to wrap up, Sonia, how do you see race playing out in advertisements in the future? Do you think companies are becoming more aware of their messages?
I think companies are getting more aware and recognizing that they cannot market as usual, and it's not just as simple as putting a few images of different multicultural people in their advertisements. It goes deeper than that. So hopefully companies won't be hesitant to start marketing to more diverse audiences, and they'll take this as an opportunity to understand them at a more intimate, deeper level so that they can get it right. I think companies are starting to recognize that they can't ignore it. They can't market to everyone as if they're the same, but they're starting to see that would be some of these missteps by Nivea that you guys mentioned earlier, by Dove, by Pepsi, from some of their missteps earlier this year, that it's going to take more of a concerted effort to be able to get this right. So hopefully they'll be willing to put in the work to be able to do so.
Well, Dan from Northern Wisconsin called in, but he couldn't stay with us. He said Unilever knew exactly what they were doing. They just did not expect the pushback. Do you think people are more inclined to speak up today and turn the tide, if you will?
They are. So, you know, it's hard to understand what the intent of the company is, but because we live in an age where everyone is able to share their opinion instantly, the onus is on brands even more so to be able to engage and communicate with their customers, to talk about their intent, and to make sure that whenever they are putting out advertising and they are putting out these different types of messages, that they are getting it right, and that they're, you know, connected to their communities enough and their customers enough so where they're not going to miss this message. But the good news is, with social media, you get that direct feedback quite instantly, and you're able to adjust. So if there is something that doesn't quite work the first time, you can listen to what people are saying and adjust your approach quite quickly so that you can get it right the next time.
And we will be listening. Sonia, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Sonia Thompson, a marketing strategist and consultant. She recently wrote a piece for Inc. magazine titled "Why the Controversial Dove Ad Missed the Mark: Three Important Lessons for Marketers." Earlier, we talked to Shalini Shankar, a sociocultural and linguistic anthropologist at Northwestern University. This hour of the morning show was produced by Naeja Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.